learned from our group experience that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean. Thank you.
Years ago.
I'd like somebody to read how.
I'm Catamon Addict. How it works. If you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. These are the principles that made our recovery possible. One, we admitted that we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, we humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, we continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs. This sounds like a big order, and we can't do it all at once. We didn't become addicted in one day, so remember, easy does it. There is one thing more than anything else that will defeat us in our recovery. This is an attitude of indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. Three of these that are indispensable are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. With these, we are well on our way. We feel that our approach to the disease of addiction is completely realistic, for the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. We feel that our way is practical, for one addict can best understand and help another addict. We believe that the sooner we face our problems within our society, in everyday living, just that much faster do we become acceptable, responsible, and productive members of that society. The only way to keep from returning to active addiction is not to take that first drug. If you're like us, you know that one is too many and 1,000 never enough. We put great emphasis on this, but we know that when we use drugs in any form or substitute one for another, we release our addiction all over again. Thinking of alcohol as different from other drugs has caused a great many addicts to relapse. Before we came to NA, many of us viewed alcohol separately, but we cannot afford to be confused about this. Alcohol is a drug. We are people with a disease of addiction who must abstain from all drugs in order to recover.
I'd like someone to read the tradition.
I'm Roxanne, I'm an addict. Hey everybody, we keep what we have only with vigilance, and just as freedom for the individual comes from the 12 steps, so freedom from the group springs from our traditions. As long as the ties that bond us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all will be well. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. Two, for our group purpose there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Six, an NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you.
To the press, Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the love press, radio, and film. If any member of the press are present, please contact someone in the registration area for information. We ask that no pictures be taken during the meetings. This is an open podium meeting. I don't know about y'all, but this morning I got really charged up after hearing these people talk. And, you know, we're here to celebrate our history. And a lot of it is in the rooms over there where we can go and look at it and touch it and feel it. I don't know about y'all, but I want a history book. You know, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to just sit and wait and let somebody else tell us what we're going to do, or are we going to write about it ourselves? And with that, I'm going to open the floor to anyone.
I'm Lee. I'm an addict. I'm not the guy here. I got real charged up this morning listening to the panel speakers. And something that really touched home with me was the part about reaching out and how sometimes that we have gotten away from that in our meetings. And I come from a rural area like South Central Georgia originally, where it is where I got clean. It's like the Piedmont area of Georgia, which at one time was was everything south of Atlanta. And you know, now it's about five or six areas that sprung off that one area. But I remember, you know, what it was like to travel 100 miles to support a new meeting, you know, and how the energy was there and people reached out and were, you know, service work was like, let's pull together and see what we can do to better carry the message. And I can relate to being complacent when meetings got large and a lot of the towns that we, you know, worked to try to get meetings started in, or we supported new meetings that started in, you know, it got to where most of these towns had meetings. The meetings in these other towns, you know, the town I was in got bigger, and it got to where you didn't recognize a newcomer when they walked in the door because there were so many new people coming in. You didn't know if they were a newcomer or not, you know. And I can identify with the complacency, because we lost that spirit of wanting to see the fellowship grow, because it seemed like it had grown to a point where there wasn't the need there that there was at one time. But however, I know that the spirit of reaching out is still there. It's there in me, because I guess lately I have really gotten real gung-ho again, because I moved up to rural northwest Tennessee about a year ago. And there is, the NA is fairly new. There was an ASC was just formed up there about a year ago, and there wasn't a lot of NA in that area. And a lot of the groups are new, and, you know, I see. So I've gotten real gung-ho, like we were in Georgia a few years back, you know, trying to get NA going, you know, get the message out. And it's not, you know, today it's not a wanting to be important kind of thing. It's wanting to see the message carried. And I can relate to wanting to feel important too, because I did that early in my service work. And I don't do that today. Anything I do for this fellowship, I do because I love, because it's saving my life, and I love the hell out of it. And I want to see it grow, and I want to see it reach more addicts out there that want to, you know, that need to hear the message that's saving my life today. And, you know, I've gotten real excited about, you know, there's some towns up there, there, you know, 10 to 20,000 people that have treatment centers that don't even have NA and have never had NA. And we're starting a meeting in one of those towns that I live fairly close to next Wednesday night. Be the first NA meeting there. I say it will be the first. There has, that particular town, there was a an attempt at starting an NA meeting earlier, but it folded up. And I'm real excited about that kind of thing, because I want to see this God-given message reach more suffering addicts. I come from a small town, and where meetings were small, and I like small meetings where you have that closeness, and when somebody new walks in the door, you value that person, and you reach out to them, and you really, do whatever it takes to try to share the message with them. And that's the kind of recovery I'm used to. And, I don't know what the answer is when we get to a point where we're having 150 people in a meeting. Maybe the answer is to have smaller meetings, break that up somehow or something. I don't know. I know the meetings got fairly large there in the town I'm from in Georgia before I left, where you didn't, it wasn't that big. But, and some of that energy kind of left because there wasn't that cohesiveness in that unity and that closeness that there had been in the early days. But I love this fellowship very much, and the spirit of reaching out is certainly not dead in me. It's been rekindled in me since I moved up to Tennessee. And I'm gung-ho about seeing it. And I'm glad that I came to this thing, because I have never been... I've always been somebody that was real active in service at the area level. I never went on to region, all this world stuff. I heard about it, and I looked at the conference agenda every year and all this stuff, but I never really got involved in it. And I was not aware of some of the things that have happened, as far as not things not being carried back to regions, areas, and groups, and getting things done that way. I always assumed that that's the way everything was approved, and I found out differently, I knew about these special riders, and that disturbed me when I first heard about it, because I like the idea that everything that I read is written by a recovering addict. I don't want to see nothing written by no journalism major that don't know nothing, that doesn't know the miracle that has changed my life and is changing you people's lives, And I was very disturbed when I heard about that, but I didn't realize that there had already been things that were supposedly conference approved that were not actually taken back to the groups of this fellowship. I didn't know that. And I'm glad that I came here and found that out. But I love this fellowship very much, and I know that you people saved my life, and I know that there's a lot of people in this room that feel the same way I do. And I feel like I want to focus on the positive things of this fellowship, because I know for me the spirit of reaching out is certainly not dead, And I have always made an effort in my personal recovery to try to reach out to anybody new that comes into our meetings. Like I said, at a time it got to where you didn't know who was new and who wasn't, But That to me, that's the most important. That to me is the most important service work we can do, is reaching out to a suffering addict and sharing that miracle with them that was given to us. I know that if there's things wrong in the fellowship, that there are enough of us that feel this way that we can change whatever's wrong. I don't think we have to, secede or whatever, been rumors of things like this going on. I hope and pray, and I feel like that this fellowship has gotten this far that we can, through trying to put these things in the hands of a power greater than ourselves who brought us to this point, that we can resolve some of these things and get back to the principles that got us where we are today. And that's all.
Donnie, and I'm an addict. Hey, family. I've gotten a lot out of what's been said in the meeting since I got here yesterday. Excuse me. But this morning, when I got up and left the room, there was a one of the people that worked here at the motel, and I asked her how she was doing this morning, and she said, I'm doing good. She said, you guys are the most loving and caring people that we've ever had here. And she said, that makes my day. And the Spirit is here. If you've ever been anywhere where the Spirit was available to feel, it's here. But I had to ask myself after she said that, I said, Donnie, where's your love been lately? You know, when I first got to this program, there was a burden. It was a heartfelt burden for the people that came into the room that were hurting. And I just couldn't stand to see them go back out because I spent too long a time out myself. And I got into that category of complacency myself. I haven't always felt that burden. I felt it for a long time, and then it kind of eased off, and I was kind of happy with where I was at, and I didn't reach out like I should. But by feeling the Spirit that's here, that spiritual burden's back again. I mean, this morning, that earth person brought it right out. She let me know that complacency is not where it's at. You've got to reach out. We can only keep what we have by giving it away. And without feeling that heartfelt burden to not want to see anybody go out there and live again through what we came through, that's where it's at. That's what this program's about. We are loving and caring people. But I see that sometimes we get loving and caring and we don't spend the time to help the person that needs it the most. A lot of us get together, it's got some good recovery sometimes, and we all show our love towards each other. And there's nothing wrong with that, people, but I remember sitting in those H&I meetings and stuff, and man, I'd sit there in tears. And I'd see these kids that were, you know, that were at an age where I was in the past, and I'd say, God, y'all don't want to go through what, you know, you don't want to go through it. You know, you need to find out what recovery is about. And we need to reach out and help them find out what recovery is about, what this program's about. They need to feel the Spirit and know what recovery is, because abstinence does not equal recovery. But I don't have much more to say. I just really felt like that the Spirit had asked me to say that because I felt it, and if anybody else feels it, maybe you can identify with me. But I love you guys.
My name is Reggie, and I'm an addict. You know, when I came to this fellowship, it wasn't about a basic text that kept me clean. It wasn't about a bunch of papers from the archives. It was about the love that another human being gave to me through that hug, through that compassion, through that understanding. And that is what kept me clean. Until I came to grips with the fact that there was a Spirit that lied within Reggie and within you people, I hung on to that unconditional love that you gave me. I hung on to that hope, to that faith, and to that understanding. It was until after a few years that I started to treasure these things that we call archives, these things that we call basic texts, the changes that are made, the rebellious attitudes that are brought forth. I look at them today and understand that that was me, because I played a great role in service work. Through my manipulative and controlling ways, I changed a lot of things in our area. And I found how easy it was to influence people. And I look back on there and look at the mistakes that I made. And that it took people to come behind me to change it back the way that it should have been. But for that period in time, that's where I was at. But I'd just like to share with you people things.
Randy, I'm an addict. Hey, family. Get real nervous and upset when I have to confront a situation or a feeling. Uh, got up here this afternoon, and the workshop's already going on with Greg and Bo and Ed and I believe the other guy is Jim. I don't know him. I wish they were here now. Hopefully sometime this weekend I'll be able to talk to them. I've been here for 8 years in this fellowship. Been clean for 8 years. This fellowship does work. There is love. There is unity. And that's what I've heard the last few people get up here and share about. The last hour of this workshop this morning, the fellowship once again has been attacked. Our basic text has been attacked by a few. And I believe through the guidance of a God as I understand him, it's going to remain a few. I'm grateful today that I don't have to be a part of the controversy to try to destroy something that I believe in. When I came in, I met Ed, looked up to him, you know, as well as eventually met Greg and Bo, and a lot of clean time, a lot of service work, a lot of experience, a lot of love, a lot of recovery. It's hard for me not to attack, so just bear with me. I love them today. I really do. But I refuse to be a part of what is going on here this afternoon, this region, which I've been proud to be a part of RRSC for the last 2 years. Very active in my area as area chair, Greater Birmingham area. Well aware of what's going on here within a history. We talked about it within this region. We confronted in a history. We asked them what was going to happen, what was going to be shown, what was going to be distributed. Basically, for me, I was lied to. What went on in the last hour, I was told, would not happen. But it happened. For the new folks that are here and know that are not sure exactly what's going on, got to get back to the basics, and that's Narcotics Anonymous work. It's been working for some time. This is a celebration of NA history, of our birthday. This NA history weekend is not a time to attack. Well, again, we was told by the history committee. I believe that I can safely say that this region will not allow NA history to meet back in this region again. That's talking with different ASRs and so forth, that it's not going to happen again. We've been used to get this message out that World Service won't let us do this, or the WSC, I know, because we, as the few over here, didn't get their way. The fellowship spoke very loudly, to my understanding, at the conference. The regions told them, no. The RSR spoke up. At least 90% of them told them no. I know. They refused. As a result, the basic text was reprinted. A letter was sent out for anyone who doesn't know by our WSO. It told them that if this continued, there would be legal action filed. They stopped printing them. You know, my question is why? Why would you stop printing the book? Because it's illegal. It not only goes against our tradition and our fellowship, but it goes against the law. I'm not real knowledgeable of all the stuff that's going on. I can't go into great detail. I probably said something that is not quite right. I know my feelings are feelings of hurt. That an ad hoc committee would come into our region and be formed within 6 months or less. This committee's been going on from the time this is... My thing was, let's have it next year. Let's have it next August. Let's research it a little bit more. Let's give our fellowship, this region, a chance to look at it and see what's happening. But as a result of some things, it got rushed through. And as a result, you know, what went on here in the last hour of this workshop happened. I'm grateful for the open podium. I'm grateful for the right today to have a voice, which I do. I'm sure my voice will be disputed, you know, by those few. Again, I think I can safely say that Narcotics Anonymous as a whole has set its teeth and will continue to do so. That's through the RSR and the RSRs that represent us. I believe we, as fellowship, have the power to change things. And I believe we need to do that, and I talked about it at dinner a while ago. I believe we need to do that through our home group, through our area, and through our region. Not by forming a committee as such as we're having this weekend, such as somebody, let's print up a basic text over here on the side and distribute it. You know, I can't do those kind of actions today. That's not what I'm about, you know. I believe there is some things going on that these guys talked about in the last hour that needs to be looked at. But I think there's a way to go about doing it. And what I've seen here in the last hour that I sent in before I got up and I walked out was wrong. And I do feel like that this region has been used. And I do feel like that this region at our next RSC will speak up. And we will take action and to see that this doesn't happen again. I'll definitely ask my RSR to send letters and the tape of this workshop to the other regions and let them hear it. You know, motivation, revolution, you know, those are the kinds of words that I heard. You know, that's not what we're about. You know, we're about love and unity and staying clean. I don't know. I love you.
My name's Kat. I'm an addict. I'd really like to thank this region for having this thing here this weekend. I'm real grateful that it's here. You know, and I wanted to talk this morning because I got real emotional, you know, and I come from a real small area. And when I got to my area, there were 4 addicts, and then there were 5. And, you know, I've never been allowed the luxury, although I'm from hearing other people talk about complacency, I guess it's not really a luxury. You know, we've never really been allowed to be complacent in our area because there aren't that many of us. But we're growing. You know, we really are growing, and our area is comprised of a lot of little rural towns. And with 30, 40 miles, you know, between us, which I know isn't 100. But, you know, and we're working real hard right now to unify our area and to go to those meetings and to have unity days. And, but since I got in this program, I believe that what happens in this fellowship begins with me, but I know it doesn't have to stop with me. You know, I was taught that I have a responsibility as a recovering addict to pass on what I've learned about this fellowship, but to be informed about it before I do. And due to the fact that our area was real small, I got involved in service work very young, and I'm still clean today, and I believe that the service I've done has enhanced my recovery. You know, whether it's helped me learn to deal with resentment, anger, ego, false pride, and all that stuff. But I was brought up reading our guide to service and always wondered why it stopped when it got to the world. You know, and I kept looking for the revisions, and I never saw anything that happened up there. You know, I felt like maybe somebody didn't want me to know. And I have a very inquisitive mind, and have a lot of phone numbers from people around this country, and I've been doing some phone calling lately. And you know, we've been having conversations about simple things like how does our group get something to get back to the other group to get voted on? And I was told there wasn't a way. But I'm going to say there is a way. I know there's a way. Because there's a way for me to get clean and to grow. And I believe that, you know, we do have a legacy, and I'm real grateful to the guys that came and shared it with us this morning. And like I said, I think from our area being small, you know, I could relate to what they were talking about being involved in each other's lives, because that's how we were, you know. And I know that for the people, the new people that are in my area, to feel that it has to come from me. When a newcomer walks in our doors, we have radar, and they're scooped up, and we need them, you know, and we let them know that we need them, because we can't survive without them. And a lot of people have experienced burnout in our area, and I'm probably burned out, but I don't know it, and I keep going, you know. And as a result, I've been involved in controversy, but that's okay, because I was involved in controversy when I was using. And but I feel like that this, as long as at the end of the day that my gut check is okay, you know, and that what I did today was okay, that I'm doing the right thing. I also know that that being involved in controversy, that if people are talking about me, I must be doing something right. And we all have a right to our own opinions, and I'll gladly share mine with anyone who asks. And you know, I'm real shaky right now. I'm fired up. When I was using. And but I feel like that this, as long as at the end of the day that my gut check is okay, you know, and that what I did today was okay, that I'm doing the right thing. I also know that that being involved in controversy, that if people are talking about me, I must be doing something right. And we all have a right to our own opinions, and I'll gladly share mine with anyone who asks. And you know, I'm real shaky right now. I'm fired up. And a lot of times people in my area ask me, how come I keep doing this? Why do I stay involved? How do I keep putting up with the bullshit? And, you know, certainly not because I get a paycheck. Certainly not because I get a thank you, you know, most of the time. But it must be because I love my fellowship. And I think it's time we reclaim our fellowship. This is ours. And I want it back. So I can only tell y'all that, you know, we're a little area across the lake from a big area, and we talk to each other, and this conversation came up at someone's birthday party. We're going to find a way to get our voice from our group in Covington, Louisiana, through our region, in the Louisiana Purchase region, to the world. It doesn't have to be on the world floor, but I can tell you we're talking about how we can get it known. I can get every RSR's phone number, and I can call them, and I can write them. And I know that if we are unified, there's a lot more of us. And I know I believe in group conscience. And it starts with, you know, us at our group level. And, you know, I'm a firm believer in that. My home group's the best home group in the world. I love it. I love my area, and I love my fellowship, and I read the service manuals, and I know that the service manuals tell me that I have a voice, and that I matter, and that I can come up here today and tell you how I feel, and you can't make me leave. And I like that about this fellowship, you know. But I just wanted to thank you guys that did share with us this morning, because, you know, I brought a newcomer with me from my area, and she's been crying since that meeting ended, not out of sadness, but because she felt something, you know, and she didn't know what it was. She kept saying she didn't hear anything, but she felt something. And to me, that is worth more than any money or anything that, you know, that I could be given, is that we gave that to her today. And I believe that it is my responsibility as a recovering addict and a member of this fellowship to get together with all my other brothers and sisters around this country who are also members of this fellowship and find a way, you know, to have my voice heard, you know, my one little vote is going to count somewhere. And if it starts in my group, that's where it'll start. But, you know, I certainly don't think it has to end. And the strange thing is I was walking down the hall and I had a little spiritual awakening that that's why they planned this, to implant this in our heads, to get us off our ass to do something. And, you know, and I do feel the spirit. You know, I believe in a collective higher power, and I know he's here with us today. And I know that as long as I am doing what I believe is right, and not just my opinion, but in, you know, but studying and being informed, and that I have a right to it. And I really believe that I can matter, sitting down in Covington, Louisiana, that I can matter, you know, out at the other end of the country or anywhere. But I did want to express my gratitude to the people that came and shared our history with us, because I was real lucky. The people that were there, the four addicts that were there in my area, shared everything they knew, you know, and I got to do my first step out of that red book. My sponsor let me use it when I was in treatment. And, you know, the book is important, and my fellowship is important, and I am important, and we're all important. And maybe it's because I'm a radical from the 60s, you know. I always know that there's a way, and that even if, you know, even if I got disillusioned that my voice really may not have counted in that big picture, I think in this big picture my voice can count. And I think unity, that if we're unified in our purpose, you know, that anything's possible, because I was told when I got here never to set limits on what I could accomplish. And I haven't done that, and I haven't been disappointed yet. So I'm really glad that y'all are here, and together we can. I love y'all.
I'm an addict. My name is Bill. Thank you for sharing, Randy. I'll make my phone call here. Don't do things behind disguised doors. Nor is the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous that it's brought into. There's some interesting things that were shared up here. And what was shared earlier was truths. Anybody that's scared of truths, try to cover up that from happening. I'm a college student, as I shared last night. And I don't have to talk about Narcotics Anonymous history to understand history. I can understand modern European history and understand what's going on in Narcotics Anonymous today. And if anybody wants to do is buy modern European history and read the French Revolution and read about the Napoleonic era, read about centralization, and read about silencing the masses and what happens with complacency because of silencing the masses, read about having a one-sided press, and you'll understand what's going on in NA right now. Read about those that attack publicly in our paid press. I got to thank the committee here, yes. I got to thank the committee for having a regional conscience to put on a workshop. I got to thank the committee for setting this here up, for the good work that they've done. And that's real important to me. It's real important because this spirit that they talked about last night, today, is the spirit that saved my life. No, literature doesn't save lives if you don't read it. But if you can, I don't know, who got a good voice for reading? I want you to read the first page of this 12 steps someone does from this gray book. And maybe everyone close their eyes and listen to what's being said here. And tell me if it doesn't touch your heart. Yeah.
Step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we sought to carry the message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs. The idea of a spiritual awakening takes many different forms in the many different personalities we find the fellowship. This awakening does have some things in common throughout the fellowship. Life takes on a new meaning, a new joy, and a quality of being and feeling worthwhile. We become spiritually refreshed and are glad to be alive. Our suffering has cleansed us of some of our illusions. In time, we have been guided to our new life and place in the world and in our hearts. This great step is to be preceded by the working of steps 1 through 11. There are those of us who have tried to stay clean without the benefit of having had a spiritual awakening as a result of those steps, and they are no longer with us. The ones who continue to practice these principles in all their affairs tell us that this is the most wonderful thing that one can know. The journey is a feeling of gratitude. Usually, by the time we achieve this state of mind, no one has to tell us to share our new life with the still suffering addict. We are more than eager to help that person because by this time, we recognize that by helping others, giving away that which has been given to us, is our best possible insurance against relapse to the vague, torturous existence of a practicing addict. We call it carrying the message, and we do it in a number of ways. The first way in which we carry the message is by staying clean with the help of God and the fellowship. Our new way of living speaks for itself better than our words ever could. People see us on the street and remember us as furtive, frightened loners. They notice the grayness and fear leaving our faces. They see us gradually come alive.
Page that talks about carrying the message. That's what's been done here last night and today. Carrying the message. Sometimes history isn't pretty. Sometimes Narcotics Anonymous service isn't a pretty place to be if you don't have a 12-step program in your life. If you have a 12-step program, you'll invite what we call controversy. Controversy is a shaking up of the spirit inside. Controversy is looking at something and rising above one's own personality. That's what service has taught me. It's welcomed open forum, open participation, sharing of ideals and concepts. That's what history has proven. This letter here, in the front of the flippy floppy, that 99% of our fellowship may not have ever seen. Dear fellow trusted servant, the time has arrived for us to take a look at the evaluate and decide if the basic text that has evolved from six WSC literature conferences over the past several years represents recovery from addiction through our experience in Narcotics Anonymous. There has long been a need for a comprehensive basic text on recovery, Narcotics Anonymous book. Our book is needed to carry the message of recovery to places where members cannot go or have not yet been or gone. A basic text book on recovery from addiction for public libraries and for shelves of doctors, parole and probation, and judges' offices. A definite text so millions of people may know that we can and do recover a day at a time. The Mid-South RSC accepted the responsibility of printing, packaging, addressing, and mailing this approval form of our book. Our basic text on NA recovery. As of this writing, many addicts are arriving in Memphis, Tennessee to help with this great work, and many others continue to send their spiritual, emotional, and financial support from around the world. Now it is on you. The time has come to be, not to be, to do or not to do. Approval of our basic text should proceed as follows. Narcotics Anonymous members, read this approval form of our book. Groups of NA members vote to approve or not. The group service representatives vote the conscience of groups at area service committee meetings, and then the area service representatives vote the conscience of their areas at regional service committee meetings. Regional service representatives and state set delegates in areas that have not yet formed a regional service committee will then vote at World Service Conference 2 be held in Los Angeles, California, May of 1982, to approve for hardback. If your group locally does not have an organized service structure, you should get together with other NA groups in your state and to send a state representative who will have the same voting strength. If your group locally does not have an organized service structure, you should get together with other NA groups in your state and send a state representative who will have the same voting strength as an RSR. In an effort to reduce the cost of printing and mailing, the personal stories have been excluded. Our book is in its present approval form, is basic text only. The stories, some of which were in review form, will be considered separately at a later date. We remain your trusted servant in gratitude and loving service. That's this book here. Now, this is the approval form of the basic text in Narcotics Anonymous. This is what this book is. David, could I have the mic? I will not be interrupted. This book is the only book that we approved as Narcotics Anonymous. There surrounds no controversy around the approval of this book. Not whatsoever. But there's been plenty of controversy around the basic text that we so love. ...of an issue. Providing all information. And that's what this was. All information provided openly to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. It started with being allowed to participate, being allowed to be part of this here book. And I didn't clean up by reading it. I cleaned up because of the writing of it. It's what kept me clean. Learning the steps and traditions in the service structure. Of being allowed that place, that environment, to teach me how to live on the outside world. Happened in the service structure. People tolerating me. I come into Narcotics Anonymous as a violent individual. I would not think twice about taking a man's life when I came here. And the world that I came from was one of death. And many of us, or all of us, should know that. One of death. To take the walking dead and to instill a spirit into that person is a miracle beyond my conception of understanding. But it happened. It happened to me and happened to many of you. And it happened because of the man-hours and the time that people spent in putting the book together for us, inviting us in to be part of that happening. It happened in Allentown, Pennsylvania, because of addicts taking their time to love and care for me. I shared last night, Mr. Kinnon. I got one of these books you don't put on display because it's been used. It's one of them coffee-stained ones. But it says, "Hi, Bill, it's great. It's NA all the way for Jimmy K in 84. I cherish this book. This is the book that I read. The lack of information is what causes controversy. But it's through controversy that I seek the information and ask the questions. And will not tolerate or accept an area service committee directing or dictating to our home group. Or will not tolerate a regional service committee censoring or dictating and controlling our group of Narcotics Anonymous. Because the traditions precede anything that's been put into place. And if anything that's been put into place violates the traditions, it's not the traditions that are out of order. It's what we put into place that needs to be removed. And if there's obstacles, we need to remove the obstacles. I guarantee you, If Randy writes the type of letter he's talking about, it'd be put in the press. I can show you plenty of letters that aren't, because it don't go with the party line. I got a letter from 84 that didn't go with the party line, that was written by an area that was group conscious by the groups to set up what's going on. It's history of our basic text because it has to do with changes in our basic text. It has to do with the 1984 conference, a violation of procedures of our conference. An area service committee took the time to do this and had to do with group conscience issues. Had to do with our area's writing this letter in grave concern over the direction of our WSC or of NA. We are writing in response to items that have been dealt with at WSC 84 and the way the conference is being run. Voting procedures of conference, we would have to see this as a violation of our second and ninth traditions. Tradition two for our group purpose is one ultimate authority. The loving goddess may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants that do not govern. Tradition nine is such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Having other than RSRs voted conferences, watering down of group conscience by having the board of directors, board of trustees, subcommittee chairs, secretary treasurers, and co-chairs voting participants. Whose group conscience do they carry? The boards, the subcommittees, or their own? This is also a violation of Tradition 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Narcotics Anonymous group is any meeting which meets regularly at a specific place and time for the purpose of recovery, provided that it follows the 12 steps and 12 traditions. The service armed are not NA. They are of NA only. We ask our conference to follow them procedures. We ask our conference when tradition 4 and 9 were deleted again. Conference is again in violation of traditions 2, 4, and 9. No group conscience has been taken in the 1983-84 conference on these items. The motion put on the floor by the chairman of the board of directors and subsequent action taken by conference for the fellowship to vote in 60 days to return to traditions 4 and 9 as written in their first red edition, or stay as it is. This is setting a precedent to force group conscience to vote on items that were not put on the agenda for that year and did not seek input from the fellowship first. Your conference agenda says, and procedures say, that we get items have to be put out for 90 days previous to conference to be heard. Literature stuff says a year. But yet we're in violation of our principles. And that's documented. Anyone wants to take the time and look at the documents, get your conference minutes and do the research. Anything that I heard this morning is documented through minutes. And any person that showed up here this morning, you can do the research and find that what they were talking about is truth with documentation. Letters were brought up, not by the men here this morning, but by a member of this here region who directed and told you what this region will not allow next year. I wonder how we know group conscience before it's happened, unless we're in a controlling faction that can dictate, as has been done many times before. I wonder how we know that stuff unless we're controllers and manipulators and deceivers of the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I wonder if the Birmingham area makes phone calls to addicts in Pennsylvania and threatens that they belong in jail, or they'll make sure that they're in jail. I wonder if the letters that you were sent by the Board of Trustees, if they checked into lawyers to find out what they're talking about first. Or if you know, lawyers are not allowed to send desist and exist orders out. Only court orders are allowed to do that. Court orders. I've done my research. But yet, that's the press we receive. And that's what we're told. And we follow in line, as many follow Napoleon to the death. And thousands of lives died. For what? One man's control and power. It wasn't about money, Napoleonic era. It was about control and power, prestige. And that's what we do. We say the few. And I shared last night about the minority voice, the voice in the wilderness crying out, let it be heard. If there's a problem with the minority voice being heard, the problem is that there may be some truth. There's nothing wrong with allowing open participation. The only people that there's a problem with it are those that want to control and manipulate and let you hear a one-sided issue. A man called Hitler comes to power that way. A man called Julius Caesar ruled the Roman Empire in the same way. Look through your history and learn. Those that have cried the loudest for silence and cried the loudest for unity and sense of purpose are the ones that have led mass murders. And that's history. I do my homework. I'm an A student when it comes to history. I was an A student in my disease in history. I'm an A student today in college in history. I do my studying and I do it well. I don't go into a place without having my homework done and documentation. Back the words up with the facts. Look into the traditions and see if it applies. And if it doesn't, throw it out. Because we have no use using it. I can tell you personal beliefs, but this is not the arena for that. There'll be other places. And if it ain't allowed here, I can guarantee you the home group I belong to has a conscience to continue this work. I belong to Recovery First of Narcotics Anonymous. And I know we're going to invite you next year to Lehigh University in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania in July, where this type of open participation will happen, where there are no closed doors. And we have a history of that in our area of holding 4 conferences. I can go into documentation and pull documentation out on history where conference chair said there's people for bringing to the attention the basic text from the 3rd edition revised to the 4th edition and the problems with it. Where the conference chair made statements in an NA newsline that these people should be put up against the wall and machine gunned down. No one raised a brow about a conference chair. But people did raise hell about the 3rd edition revised. And you can look in the agenda and see that they didn't allow the motion to be heard. And ask for the tapes of the conference that year and see if they'll give you them. See if they'll give you them where RSRs got to the mic and said, I cannot carry my region's conscience. I don't believe in what my region wants. One by one. Ask for the conference from tapes that year. See if they'll release them to you. I can tell you years ago, you'd get conference tapes because it was open. Participatorial service structure. And I have conference tapes at home from the early 80s. Why can't we have things like that today? Only if I want to speak my own piece and not have you understand because you are dummies. I have more understanding than you is what I'm led to believe in a World Service Conference. And what I heard today, I've been rubbed down and asked to negotiate principles and been flown to Alaska. I was on the plane trips. I was a World Public Information Vice Chair and was on the plane trips and paid and brought the WSO for weekends and stayed there for 4 days and 3 nights on your money. Not money that you... It was money you put in the basket to buy literature. But they brought me there, and I said no, and 5 minutes later the meeting ended. And I spent 4 glorious days and 3 nights in Southern California. Venice Beach, Malibu, on your money. Because I wouldn't negotiate, and I said no. And what's wrong with you hearing that? What's wrong with you hearing the truth? What's wrong with the full disclosure of our office? There's nothing to hide. What's wrong with your RSR bringing take back to hear what he said on the conference floor, unless he didn't say what you sent him there for? What's wrong with trustees if they're there to trust, if they're our board, if they're not willing to be open and let us hear what they say? What's wrong with it? Because we know better. We only know better because we won't give you the information and allow you to grow. And that's what is holding back, is you to be able to grow spiritually and grow from the addict to be able to become a responsible, productive member in society, as our literature shares, as Jimmy Kinnon told me in the phone. The best thing a sponsor can do for a sponsee is help him become himself. and let that sponsee go free and let them learn how to make decisions for themselves. Not keep the baby in diapers, because the baby will rebel when they start to grow up and see the truth. There's nothing wrong with rebellion. There's nothing wrong with revolution. Our country was born on revolution against the same thing. In history, again, you will see taxation without representation, without being part of a decision-making process. It's the same thing that's happening in NA, and our history represents that. Do your homework. It's documented. And allow for continuation, and hopefully next year we'll be back here with a more informed historical knowledge of Narcotics Anonymous. Don't allow the few to kill it, because this is an important issue. It's an important issue why our history has never been written, and why so a few can keep the controlling faction together, so you don't know where we come from and the experiences we went through, how we grew through the personality problems. What happened? It's good to know that we have personalities. It's good to know how we overcome them. It's good to know the results when we start to control and what happens to us and how we had to let go and grow through it. It's good to know that information. That's what this is about. As long as I have a voice in Narcotics Anonymous, I'll keep on speaking wherever there's a forum. Wherever I'm allowed to speak, I will keep on speaking. And those that only have to fear what I say are those that don't want it to be known and allow you to make the decision what's right or wrong. Allow you to say if what I'm saying is right. Allow you to make that decision. They're the only ones that have to fear. Bring the darkness into the light and see if it can survive. Put it into the light test. Because that's what this is about. I'm here because I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous. And I welcome WSO to take me to court if they shall choose. Let him take me. Because my Jewish lawyer is ready. Okay? He's ready to make me a rich man if the fellowship so chooses. Thank you for allowing me to share.
My name is Sarah, and I am an addict. I was invited to participate in this committee because we're going to put on a celebration of NA history. And, you know, a lot of people were invited to come, and all the meetings were open. We never met in a closed meeting place.